Dear friends, so the story goes that the reason we have a statue of Our Lady in the front of church is that when Father Vincent Eck was here, now you all probably know this story better than I do, but when Father Vincent Eck was here, there was a drunkard who showed up at the rectory asking to go to confession. And because you have to be sober, right, to confess your sins, Father Eck said, no, come back later when you're dry. And so because the man was mad, rather mad, they say that he took his car and drove it into the church, okay? Drove it into the church down the main aisle, and I guess it stopped running here when it hit the altar. I guess there were parishioners that were rather absolutely upset, but Father Eck came over and wanted to anoint him because he thought he had died. So the reason that he put this statue of Our Lady at the front of church, because you know the Father Eck, actually all the brothers Eck, right, the fathers Eck, they all had a great gift of being both practical and pious, right? So instead of putting a rather, you know, grotesque barricade like they have at Target and Walmart, he puts a statue of Our Lady at the entrance of the church so that crazy people, you know, can't drive in again, right? So in a very real way, Mary protects our church from some people, right? Protects our parish church so that our church is a safe place, okay? A safe place where we can worship, okay? Today, as a diocesan family, the reason I tell this story and begin on a kind of a light note is because today in our diocesan family, we're celebrating Safe Haven Sunday. Safe Haven Sunday. And in every parish in the diocese, with the exception, I think, of one that's doing it next weekend, one did it last weekend, to bring awareness to the dangers of pornography. Okay. From here on out, for the rest of this homily, for the sake of younger ears, whenever I refer to darkness, this is what I'm referring to. The statistics are alarming. Studies indicate that 93% of boys and 62% of girls were exposed to the darkness before the age of 18. 57% of young people seek it out once a month. 75% of their parents said they've never discussed the darkness with them. 1 in 10 American males view the darkness daily. 68% of men and 18% of women say they use at least once every week. Another 17% of men and another 30% of women said 1 to 2 times a month. So that calculates nationally 85% of men and 48% of women at least every few weeks. 56% of divorce involves one party having an obsessive interest in the darkness. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no one is immune from this. The problem exists in Catholic homes as it does in others. And this matter cannot be ignored. Because this is precisely what the devil wants us to do. The devil wants us to be silent about it. But friends, we cannot be silent anymore. Is it fun to preach about this? Is it easy? Heck no. It's never fun to preach about hard and dark things like this. But I want you to know that the only reason I do, the only reason I'm up here and asking our Lord for the courage to do so, is because I love you. Is because I love you and I want you to go to heaven. That's the only reason. Friends, we cannot be silent while souls are being ensnared. This darkness makes its user spiritually crippled and deadened. It is a serious sin, it's a mortal sin, and needs to be confessed, especially before receiving Holy Communion. It becomes enslaving. Friends, this morning, I'd like, first of all, I want to speak to parents, okay? I want to speak to the parents that are here today. It's easy to say that, you know, it's not my child, or that this darkness has no chance to enter into my home. But the fact is that it's not a matter of if they encounter this darkness, but when. The average age now of first exposure is 8 years old. Many times exposure is innocent and through no fault of their own. Many times, you know, it's a wrong click or it's an older sibling or something. And years ago, I mean, I thank the Lord that I grew up in the 80s when, you know, before the internet. Because, you know, years ago it was a bit more difficult to obtain the darkness. But with the internet, it becomes much easier and more frequent. It comes directly into your home. Parents, you need to have those conversations. And have those conversations according to how your children understand, right? Because you know your kids the best. Ask at their level. Ask at their level if they have encountered this darkness. Parents, I know this seems strong, but parents, you must do this. You must do this if you love your children for the sake of their soul, for their salvation. And parents, I encourage you, don't just bring it up once, but have that conversation often. Use it as a way to form them, to form their imaginations, right? Because that's so critical. Because our imaginations are formed, our souls are formed by what we take in, what we see, what we read, what we experience, right? And so I know that you want to form your children in the things that are true and things that are good and things that are beautiful, right? So use those conversations as an opportunity to do this. You also must take measures to control and eliminate entry points for this material in your home. Use accountability and filtering software. There's one called Covenant Eyes. It's awesome. But it's accountability and filtering software. And also, I would encourage you to have everyone in the house turn in all devices each evening so that they can remain locked up in the parents' bedroom until morning. Men, my dear brothers in the faith, you especially, I'm speaking to you as a brother, okay? You especially need to take such measures to protect yourselves, your wives, and your children. You need to live courageously, courageously, in your fatherly role as protector of your home. You can do this. Have courage. Secondly, friends, I'd like to speak to those men and women today. I want to speak especially to you who feel trapped in this darkness. I want you to know, first and foremost, there is a way out. Have hope. And I want you to know that you're not alone. If I am speaking to you this morning, I want you to hear this most especially. I want you to know that you are not lost, that you are loved, and that there is a way out. The way out is multifaceted. Yes, it does include. It includes bringing this sin to confession where you can be forgiven, where you can receive God's mercy. But the way out is multifaceted. Yes, coming to confession, but the way to freedom, the way to real freedom, right? So that we're no longer enslaved to this. The way to real freedom also includes being able to admit to another person, a friend, hey, I need some help with this. And I want you to help me and hold me accountable, right? We need friends to keep us in check, to hold us accountable. That's why that wonderful software called Covenant Eyes it's excellent that it can be put on computers and tablets and phones. What it does is, the way that it works is it sends a weekly report. It can act as a filtering software, but it also sends a report to your accountability partner, someone that you trust, someone who's willing to walk with you, to encourage you, and to point you in the right direction. Friends, if you are struggling in this area, I want you to know that I am here for you, and that I'm here for you as your spiritual father. You're always able to come talk to me. There's no judgment involved at all. But most especially, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to bring light into this area of darkness. Don't be afraid to let the light of Jesus shine in this area and bring you healing. Lastly, I'd like to speak to spouses today. Yes, this darkness, it is a great offense against the vows of marriage, and it frequently causes a lot of damage to relationships. It is a breaking of the vow to be faithful, right? It's not being faithful in one's mind and one's heart. But I want you to know that if your spouse has struggled with this in the past, or if your spouse is currently struggling, I want you to know that it does not mean it's the end of your marriage. There is help. And there is an opportunity for reconciliation, an opportunity for healing. And most importantly, an essential aspect of marriage is forgiveness. And part of one's wedding vows is that, you know, when you stood before the altar and said, "I do," that meant that, yes, God forbid the worst thing would happen to us, I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad. And that you would forgive them. That forgiveness would be the foundation upon your relationship, upon which your relationship rests. And that you will work through even these darkest moments. Friends, as your spiritual father, I want to speak to everyone here. As your spiritual father, as pastor, I want to set the tone. I want to set the tone for our response to this moral epidemic by saying that in our spiritual family, in our parish family, no one is permitted to shame anyone else in this struggle. Anyone who is struggling needs to know that they are loved, that they are supported, and that they are called to true and authentic human relationships. Look at the way, last night we read in the gospel, look at the way that the father of the prodigal son, what does he do? The prodigal son, what did he spent his inheritance on prostitutes. So the father, he doesn't just wait for him to come back. He runs out to the middle of the road and he meets his son. He embraces him. He doesn't shun him. He doesn't shame him. He embraces him. Welcomes him back with open arms. And he doesn't just say, "Hey, buddy, welcome back," but he puts a ring on his finger, sandals under his feet, a mantle on his shoulders. He slaughters the fattened calf, and he throws a huge party. Why? Because his son was dead and has been risen to life. His son was lost and has been found. Friends, in our parish, I am opening up this topic for conversation. We have to bring it out of the darkness, because as a culture, we are dying from this. And I would ask you to please, I want to start this conversation, and And I would ask you to please continue this in your home. Continue this conversation in your families. Because opening this conversation allows healing to take place. It's like going to the doctor. We can't say, "Doctor, heal me, but I'm not going to show you my wound. I'm too embarrassed." No. We have to say, "Doctor, here's the wound. Here's where I'm bleeding. Heal me." We have to bring it out into the light, out into the air. Friends, after Mass today, I would simply ask you to do one thing. I have a small book for you. I have a small book for you at the exits of the church, along with a prayer card. I would ask you to please take it, first of all, take it. And please read it. Please read it. What it does is it helps you to make your home a safe haven. And I want you to take it and I want you to read it, especially if you're struggling, especially if you're married, and especially if you're a parent. And if you think that this has nothing to do with you, okay, then I'd ask you to do one of two things. Number one, read it. If not for yourself, read it because this darkness affects most people around you that you experience on a daily basis. And if you want to let everything that I said go in one ear and out the other today, at least do something good and take a book and give it to someone. Don't just do nothing. At least do something good. Take it and at the very minimum, give it to something, give it to someone else. But my guess is that this is rather widespread and we can all learn how to protect ourselves and our families and our loved ones. So the Blessed Mother protects us. Yes, she protects our parish church from crazy people that would drive cars into the sanctuary. But most especially, she protects us from our sins. Go to her. Go to Our Lady. She loves you. The most ancient prayer, the oldest prayer that we have to Mary, comes from the 4th century. In Latin, it's called the Sub Tuum Praesidium, under your praesidium. In Latin, praesidium was the front line of the Roman army. That's significant. The praesidium was the front line of the Roman army marching into battle. And in this, the most ancient prayer to Our Lady, we call Mary the praesidium. Mary is that front line, the front line of defense. Because, friends, we're waging war on the darkness. But be assured of victory, victory by the power of Christ and the power of Our Lady. May it be so. Amen.